Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM proudly presents the Rowan Sports Review, a weekly program that brings you up to date on all the exciting news of Rowan University athletics, including recaps and highlights, player and coach interviews, and a preview of upcoming games. And now, here's your host, WGLS FM Sports Director, Aiden Dougherty.
Welcome back to the Rowan Sports Review. I'm your new host, Aiden Dougherty, and I had the pleasure of speaking with left-handed ace for the Rowan Prof softball team, Emily McCutcheon. We discussed her record-breaking 20-inning shutout performance in the second round of the NJAC tournament, and we also talked about the season as a whole as the Profs look to win the NJAC title. Later on, I sat down with sports department member Justin Locke and talked about the NJAC tournament for softball and what's next for baseball after the team lost the NJAC championship. But up first is my conversation with Emily McCutcheon. Now I'm here with a special guest, Emily McCutcheon, who is coming off a fresh record-breaking 20-inning complete game shutout where she threw 230 pitches in total and days prior was named to All-NJAC Conference First Team. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
I can imagine. But up first, I mean, we have to talk about the game, right? I mean, what was the mindset as the game kept going on? Was it, you know, inning by inning, obviously, because you could walk it off any inning, but what was the mindset when you're like, did you ever look up and be like, it's the 12th inning?
It was definitely the most innings I've ever pitched in my life, like straight. I was just taking one pitch at a time and one out at a time, trusting my defense, knowing that we were going to win at some point, trying not to let the innings and the 13th, 14th, like all those numbers, like get in my head, just throwing my game. And
yeah, you mentioned the 230 pitches, which is obviously a lot, right? But yes. I think the funny thing is like in 20 innings, I mean, you were efficient too, and you still had a 230 pitches. I think it was like 12 pitches per inning is like the correct number. So you were efficient in that game. And I also wanted to kind of touch on, I noticed in high school, I think you hit like 450 your senior year. And was there ever a time where it's like a lot of pinch hitters were coming in? Was there ever a time where it's like, am I going to get a bat? Am I going to get a chance maybe to hit here? Because you guys were kind of running out of players in the dugout.
I know. I'm just like I just am like staying on top of my pitching and I'm just like focusing on that more now. Mm-hmm. And hitting's not really like
In the repertoire.
In the back of my head. Like, yeah, it's like funny in the dugout. Like, Em, you're going in. Like, yeah. You're going in. But I just focus on pitching now.
You never know. Maybe you got to get a college AB. You have to. Like at some point, you need to get in the batter's box. I think that should be maybe something to look out for down the line. But staying on this game is. I mean, I'm sure your phone was blowing up and everything. Has anybody out of the ordinary like really reached out to you?
A couple coaches in the past, like definitely past travel coaches that have coached me, have reached out. Players that I played with and like. When I was playing, like, coach pitch have, like, texted me, and it's, like, really cool to see, like, everyone reach out and just, like, acknowledge that.
Yeah, I know. It is kind of crazy. I'm sure a lot of people saw it, like even you're probably, like, you're, you know, you mentioned coach pitch, little league coaches were, like, 20 innings, like, because that is a D3 record. I mean, the most innings pitched, and I believe, I want to say, I don't know D2, but I'm pretty sure that would be third all time. I think number one is there's been somebody that's thrown 31 innings, but that's been two different days, I think. So, and then I think somebody threw 25. I think the 31 innings was a Florida-Oklahoma game up in the D1 level. But everybody wants to talk about the game, obviously. I kind of want to know what happens after the game. Like, did you just immediately go home and crash? Did you were like, all right, I better get rewarded with like a steak dinner tonight? Was like, what did you do after the game?
After the game, like, I definitely had adrenaline like going through the whole game. After the game, I was just like, wow, this feels like a dream. Like, it didn't even feel real. Like, to go and finish 20 innings after throwing that much, like. I went to dinner with my family, I celebrated, and then I was just, like, out. Like, I was done for the day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was your first start since NJAC honors were announced, and I'll speak on your behalf. Obviously, NJAC Pitcher of the Year did not go to either you or Riley Lutz, but I will say that it looked like you had a very clear path of winning that possible award. You did get first team in the NJAC, but you made a case for yourself throughout the whole season. And then after that start, your ERA is now under one. I believe your WHIP's under one. Like, what did that feel like, you know, going out there and having that, like, massive start? Because it was a big game. I think that kind of almost got overblown just because of how fantastic the numbers were, 20 innings. I mean, it was a massive game because now you guys are sitting here with a couple days off instead of having to play, you know, maybe a couple games on Friday, a couple, and then have to be winner, go home. So how did, like, this whole week kind of feel? You got, you know, the roller coaster emotions of you got first team, but maybe you, I'm sure you probably strive for more. But then you went out there and threw 20 innings.
I was definitely nervous from the start of the game. Like, it's an NJAC game. Last year, Riley really helped us, like, was a big key part through our NJACs and our whole rest of our team. And for me to, like, come in and be able to hold them with my team behind me is, like, crazy. Like,
yeah.
It was just a crazy game, and, like, I'm so glad that I was able to help out in ways.
Yeah. What has the season overall felt like for you, though, from, you know, start to finish? I believe you guys started the season immediately in – or no, you actually guys started at home this season earlier in February. You had, I believe Rosemont came in, and then you had that trip to, you know, Florida. What is, like, the season from the beginning now – from the beginning to now where it kind of feels like a while ago we were talking about late February, and now we're sitting in here in the early weeks of May?
Definitely from the start through Florida, our team has, like, come together more as a team. We only lost one girl last year, so that was huge for us to come back with, like, the same basically World Series team as last year. And I think the people we picked up have come in key situations, like pinch hitting wise, pinch running, like going in the field if someone gets hurt. Like, I think people have really stepped up, like, throughout the season, and we're, like, such a great team and have come together so much.
It feels like a different team from, we mentioned the first games against Rosemont, to now. You know, you guys feel like you guys have a lot of hitters even in the dugout. You know, it feels like more this year you guys are having more pinch hitters, more everything. Everybody kind of has a bigger role, and you've had a bigger role. And I think that's been one of the fantastic parts of this season. I mean, if you just want to talk about this season as a whole, you had 26 strikeouts last year, 91 this year, I believe 41 more innings pitched. And in those 41 innings, you somehow still allowed one less hit and 41 more innings pitched. So it's been like one heck of a season for you. What have you kind of noticed in your, I guess, maybe approach or just overall when you step into the circle? Like, what has changed maybe last year from this year?
I think last year coming in as a freshman, like, it was really hard and hard to, like, get those, like, nervous feelings out. I was definitely a lot nervous last year and more, like stressed about games. And now I'm, like, able to trust my team. I'm so much closer with them and, like, just growing through the postseason and just working on more pitches and
whatever you've done, it's worked to a T. I mean, the ERA under one after that 20-inning performance just is something kind of otherworldly, it feels like, because you guys play in a very competitive conference in the NJAC, and there's a lot of good teams, and that's where you guys stand now, and you guys are kind of in the driver's seat of the tournament now after you won back-to-back games. And a little bit weird, it was interesting trying to figure out how the bracket was going to unfold, because yesterday was technically a semifinal game, but if you lost, you would have got another semifinal game. So it was interesting, because you guys got bye weeks this year. I don't think that happened last year. So it's a little bit different than the baseball tournament over on the other side. But the NJAC, you guys are kind of in the driver's seat now. I believe it's Kane and Ramapo will face off Friday morning. And you'll get to face the winner of that in the championship, where they'll have to beat you guys twice, which was kind of the difference last year, because I think the team you actually lost to was TCNJ last year to put you guys in the loser's bracket to make you have to have that uphill climb. And this year, you got that win. I mean, it was a hard battle win. Like, how do you feel going into the championship of the NJAC? Because no matter what, it's hard to beat you and then Riley Lutz, and then obviously we didn't even get to the offense yet twice, and now that's what's going to have to happen in the championship. How do you feel going into the championship, I guess, round, you can say?
I think it's really huge that we won the first two games. Like, coming off TCNJ Monday and taking that into yesterday, Tuesday, and really just hitting the ball and scoring runs, producing, like, and I really think we are coming so close together as a team. And playing these other teams, like, you can see how they're getting down on each other, and, like, we are just staying together, like, through the end, and we're in a really good place this year.
Yeah, I can imagine, because I think the 20-inning game, it really shows how close, you know, I guess a locker room is, because one thing I noticed when I was producing the game for the radio station is that TCNJ had a massive double play. I mean, they had one where it was lined. It was almost a hit. They caught it and then threw out the runner over at second. And you didn't really hear them, you know, roar. Like, I was like they almost want this game to be over, whether they win or lose. And I think that might have been maybe the difference. I think you guys just kept staying at it, you know, despite, you know, a hard line-out double play when you maybe thought you had the game-winning run over there at second and a possible hit. A nice play kept the game going. And that's another thing. You guys are very close. I mean, the chants are very loud. And that's one thing I wanted to ask, because you are the leader, I think, of those chants. I believe it's, what, you and Kat Thomas that really lead. You may not lead them. I don't know. I'm not in the dugout, but you're definitely one of the loudest. Like, have you always taken pride in that? Like, and when does that start? Is that part of you maybe becoming more comfortable as you're now a sophomore instead of a freshman?
Yeah, I would definitely say I'm more comfortable this year. Last year, I was kind of like in the back of the dugout. You didn't really hear me, see me at all. Like, I was just kind of like that, like, back person that was just there to, like, give you a high five when you get a hit. And now this year, like, I'm so much more comfortable with my team. And, like, just taking on that role of, like, stepping up and, like, helping Kat out with those cheers in the dugout and just keeping my whole team up and together.
Yeah, I wasn't there for your 20-inning performance. Were you still doing it throughout every inning? Or when you start, do you kind of like, all right, I'm going to sit back, you know, try to get in a mindset? Are you right back up, you go into the dugout, you're chanting everybody's name?
I was really just trying to keep my team in the game, and so was everyone in the dugout too. From the first inning to the last, like, we were all up. You, like, even if you walked up, anyone, watched the game, anything, you would never know, like, that we had played 20 innings, because from the start to finish, we have not changed, no matter how tired we were. Like, we were just up the whole entire time.
Yeah, that's admirable. And I feel like on the other side, it's almost kind of scary. You're like, man, how do they have this energy? You know, we're tired, because I think that was a big part of, like I mentioned earlier, why you guys prevailed in the end and got the victory. But, I mean, just moving on, I mean, you want to talk about, you know, big victories. Last year, you guys obviously went to the World Series, and this year you have a very good chance. I mean, NJAC or not, I'm sure the season will continue. But what do you guys think you have to do this time around to kind of get back to the World Series and maybe even win it? Because it's tough to get back, let alone even have a better season than fifth in all of D3. But what do you guys think personally in the locker room, in the dugout? Like, what's the mindset? What do you think you guys are going to do this year that maybe last year you guys have improved on?
I think last year we looked ahead a lot in the season, and we didn't take one game at a time. We were always looking towards the next game, the following game, like, weeks ahead. And this year we're just taking one game at a time, like, thinking it's our last, playing like it's our last, and just taking that as we go and just focusing on one team, one game at a time, and then just seeing where that takes us.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's a good mindset, and I hate to ask you a question about looking ahead as you just answered that way, but, you know, I think it's always good to do that, because obviously up next is the NJAC tournament. If you guys win that, I mean, you could host the regionals. I mean, I don't know too much about how that works still. I'm still trying to figure it out as year two of trying to, you know, work this thing out with who can host the regionals. But last year, I believe you guys went to Ohio first, and then you went to Virginia for the super regionals, and then obviously to Marshall, Texas. But so far, you guys could host the regionals with a NJAC championship win, which would be excellent. But I kind of want to backtrack to, you know, even before Rowan, you know, as my last couple of questions, I love asking people, like, when did you have the moment of, I can play at the next level? Was it in high school? Was it maybe even before? You're like, I kind of think I'm better than the average, you know, player. When was that moment for you?
I changed travel teams my sophomore year of high school, and I think that was like click the switch in my head. I definitely wasn't as confident before sophomore year, and then switching to that team, like having those coaches, players, like build that confidence back for me, really, I was like, wow, I can do this. Like, I can go to the next level. Like, I am able to do that and have it in me.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of people have different stories. I think a lot of people that I've talked to at Rowan, it's kind of hit them later, you know, in the high school days, kind of like what you said. But I also do want to ask, like, who do you think is kind of a big piece of why you're here? Was it a certain coach? Obviously, parents, I'm sure, played a big role, family. What do you think is a big piece outside your obviously hardworking and success that has brought you up here to Rowan?
I would say, like, three of my travel coaches, like, over the years, like, they are still in communicate with me and, like, text me all the time, tell me I'm, like, doing great, like, team's doing great. Like, just keeping that, like, contact with them. And they have definitely, like, been a huge role in, like, where I am today. And I don't think I would be able to be here without them.
Yeah, they play a big role. I mean, I'm not playing here in D3, but even just kind of playing sports in general, I feel like those travel coaches, and they all played a big role because you guys have to become a family. I mean, the tournaments, the everything, there's definitely no way you can go through all that and not really be a second family. So I think that's very cool. But I think last question is just, what are your expectations throughout the year? This is kind of, I guess, a cliche because I'm sure I'm going to know your answer, but you guys think you can win it all this year?
I think we can. We take one game at a time. Like, we have such great, like, people on the bench. Like, our team is really strong this year, and our offense is strong. Defense makes great plays. We have great catching behind the plate. Like, we're just so, like, close-knit as a team, and I think that's huge. And to stay together through this long of a season is, like, amazing that we are able to do that and get closer as we move on.
Oh, again, you mentioned the one game at a time mentality. So I didn't want to ask you too many questions about the future, but I'm glad that we could talk about somewhat of the future. But up next is the NJAC championship, and I'm sure you guys would do great, whether it's Kane or Ramapo. Personally, I would kind of want Ramapo in there because I think revenge of last year would be kind of sweet. But thank you so much for joining me, and good luck in the rest of the NJAC tournament and hopefully onwards. And hopefully, I mean, maybe even you'll be back talking about maybe in the World Series in the later half as we get closer to June. But thank you for joining me one last time. Back here on the Rowan Sports Review, I'm Aiden Doherty, and this time I'm joined by Justin Locke. Justin, how are you doing so far tonight?
Absolutely great.
It has been a fun couple weeks. Obviously, you just recently graduated, but most importantly, there's sports going on. So Rowan sports continuing as their success has continued into the NJAC tournament. And up first, we'll talk about the softball team. We'll get into the baseball team later as their NJAC tournament came to a close. But the Rowan softball tournament, Justin, is underway, and we're still in the midst of it. As I just talked to Emily McCutcheon, and I think we just have to keep talking about it because 20-inning performance, a 1-0 win against TCNJ. And funny enough, this is when you were graduating, Justin. You were watching the first couple innings, then you went to have a graduation, and then you got to watch the last six. That's how long this game was. It was officially 4 hours and 45 minutes, Justin. How did you think this even got done? How do you even think this got to a point where it was 0-0 heading into the 20th? And what's your overall thoughts on the game?
I mean, simple, the fact is that the prof bats weren't there to start off the game. Usually they kind of get an early run in, and that kind of starts off their game well. And regardless if it's Lutz or McCutcheon, they can kind of battle through, and they go on to win the game. But obviously when you get to the seventh inning, it's kind of when I checked my phone for the first time at the graduation, it was scoreless. The profs had two hits up to that point through seven innings of work, and McCutcheon was dealing, but so was Gossie on the other end for TCNJ, and that's kind of what you do when you have a top five, really a pitching duel, I would say, in the entire NJAC. You're going to have not that many hits, not that many runs. And obviously for TCNJ, the game got moved a couple of days. It was supposed to be on Saturday, then it was supposed to be on Sunday. Then it moved to Monday, much better weather, and the teams kind of just showed straight defense. I mean, a lot of strikeouts, a lot of double plays that really saved innings from getting that initial first run. There was a gun at the plate. Liz McCaffrey tried to score, I believe it was in the 11th or 12th inning.
Yes.
And if that would have happened, the game would be over, I believe, an hour, maybe an hour and a half earlier. But it didn't happen. It kept going, and that's the reason why it was 0-0 going into the bottom half of the 20th, and they finally got that run, of course, by Liz McCaffrey, who had four hits of the six in total by Prof. So it just shows the bats weren't that good. For Rowan, they had less hits to TC&J, but TC&J could never strike against McCutchen. And somehow, some way, 230 pitches later, she won that game in 20 innings.
A very efficient game. I mean, I mentioned it in the interview. I believe 12 pitches per inning, if you do the math on it real quickly. But something also to mention is she threw a no-hitter against TC&J earlier in the season. So she has 25 innings pitched against this team and has completely dominated them. Obviously, she didn't throw a no-hitter in 20 innings against TC&J in the 1-0 victory, but she has completely dominated. She's now 19-1 on the year. She has an ERA of under 1. I mean, it's just been complete domination for the Profs. And then even if you want to just start talking about the next game, I mean, they won 7-0 against Kane a couple days later, or the next day, I should say, and Riley Lutz threw a complete game shutout as well. I mean, she only allowed 5 hits. I mean, another dominant performance where it's like, you always have a chance. It doesn't matter who they're playing. They have somebody in the circle, whether it's McCutchen, whether it's Lutz, that will give their offense a chance to beat anybody in the nation in all of Division III. And I think that's just something we should not take really for granted, and the offense shouldn't take for granted, because they did step up the next day, which I think was kind of expected. When you go scoreless for 19 innings, I think you're due the next day. But, I mean, they just have a superstar duo on the mound, and it's really been dominant, and it's been fun to watch because all of a sudden, I mean, you have two pitchers that in most cases now it's going to be double elimination. It's going to be hard to beat them once, let alone twice.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, McCutchen was a freshman last season, and she still went 12-2, and she somehow has taken an even farther leap. It's kind of miraculous, to say the least. Riley Lutz was by far the best pitcher last season for the Profs, but this year it's a coin flip, and it doesn't really matter who you have on the mound, as you said, because most of the time, when they do have doubleheaders, whether it's on the road or at home, Lutz usually gets that first start where the Profs bats aren't alive. And obviously McCutchen had to see that really in her start against TC&J. And usually in game twos or the second game of a two-game set, whether it be back-to-back days like it was in the third round against Kane, the Profs bats just show up to life. And when they could do that and the pitching is usually less than 3 earned runs allowed, you're going to win every game you can. And that's why they've won 27 of the last 29 games. There was a spot where in March we were talking off the air saying, is this team not like they were last year? They're 6-5. Obviously, they were playing a lot of neutral site games. But once they got out of that, it was like, okay, this team is back, and it's really due to the pitching. When you can only give up mainly maybe 6 or 7 hits a game, and it's 2 runs or less, and your team puts up 8 or 9, there's no chance. And that's why a lot of these NJAC teams, they have not got swept by any team. It didn't matter if they were on the road, they were at home. At home especially, they have not lost a game so far up to this point. They've dominated up in that front, and when you could do that and play really well on the road, especially splitting against tough teams, Ramapo, Kane, Stockton, whoever it is, they do their great job, and that's why they're a top team, number 15 ranked in the entire country.
And that is why. I mean, the pitching, the hitting. I mean, you just want to talk about the hitting. I mean, obviously, it took them to the 20th inning to score, but Liz McCaffrey was a hero in that one, a base hit up the middle that scored the game-winning run to win 1-0, and then the offense woke up the next day. I mean, the offense the next day scored 7 runs. They had 11 hits, and two seniors, Kat Thomas and Peyton McNair, both had 2 hits apiece and 2 RBIs apiece, and that's just how good this team can be, because it felt like a rarity. We were like, they got to score at some point, and they obviously did in the 20th inning, and then they came the next day, and it looked like they just had much better approaches, much better ABs, and they just dominated yet again. 7 runs, and it felt pretty easy for them. And they might face Kane again, though. Kane and Ramapo will now be facing off, and winner of that will have to beat Rowan twice. And it's a little funny because we talk about off-air a lot, and Ramapo eliminated Rowan in the NJAC tournament last year due to a walk-off hit by Katie Rigel. And I talked with Emily McCutchen. I said, I kind of am rooting for Ramapo because I think it'd be sweet revenge if you get revenge and beat them and you hoist the trophy on your home field. I don't know if you have any matchup you really want them to have. I mean, Rowan just beat Kane 7-0, so maybe you want them, because can that team beat you twice in a row? But personally, I think it'd be a nice story and a nice storyline if they got Ramapo and defeated them.
I mean, the thing is, Kane, they beat him all 4 times they played him up to this point. They've lost 1 game to Ramapo this year. It was 3-0. But I definitely do think the sweet revenge would be It's sweet. Simple as that. I mean, if you can go against Rampo, the team that took you out last season when it looked like everything was going your way, you were hosting last year, and it all fell apart. And it was because, again, the runs didn't show up when they mattered. You put up one run through seven innings, it doesn't work. And that's why, again, whether it's Kane, whether it's Rampo, you're going to need, I would say, at least four runs to take him out. And both teams have good pitching. So you have to just go out there, capitalize early. And when you could do that, especially with the defense behind either McCutchen or Lutz, it's a hard out. And that's why this team now in a spot where all they got to do is win one of two. They don't got to win twice against Rampo, twice against Kane.
No.
They just had to take down whatever team comes out of the matchup in that 11 o'clock early morning game. And if you could do it against the second best ace on their team, you're going to be NJAC title, and holding an NJAC title for the first time since 2022.
Let's hope so, because they have a clear lane, and they have a clear lane to make it back to the World Series as well, because they are dominant, and they could possibly even host the regionals, especially if they hoist the trophy of the NJAC championship. But moving on to a team that also had to win twice, and that's the Rowan baseball team. We talked last week about how their victory against Kane, 8-6, to start off the NJAC tournament in the first round. They then lost to Ramapo on that Friday last week, and then on Saturday, I mean, they picked up two big wins to advance to the NJAC championship. They beat Kane again. They beat him twice. They ended the Cougars season. They beat him 10-5 in that game. And then TCNJ, I mean, it was pouring. It was pouring all night long in that game, but they prevailed. 8-3 victory. You know, Anthony Schooley was 3-for-4 in that game. He swung a hot bat in the NJAC tournament, but they had to beat Ramapo twice. And they had a 7-4 lead on Ramapo in this game in the top of the seventh. But then Ramapo responded with five runs in the bottom of the seventh, including a big three-run home run by Bailey, the shortstop. They got two three-run home runs in rain. I mean, they had two massive hits. They were even in hits, the hit category. I mean, 11 for Rowan, 12 for Ramapo. But Ramapo got two big ones, and that were two three-run home runs, and it kind of allowed them to win the game 9-7, and Rowan didn't even get a chance to possibly put Ramapo against the wall. You were at this game. I mean, what did you really see from this one? Because it felt like they were playing at a disadvantage with the rain, both teams not really playing at their best. They did have Mike Shannon on the mound, but he allowed four runs in the first two innings, and then he cruised the rest of the way until the bottom of the seventh, and you maybe felt like they left him in a little bit too long, especially with the way their bullpen performed all weekend long.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you look at it at full display, eight hits of the 12 that Shannon allowed were in those first two innings. So after that, 3-4-5, 6 inning, it was the Mike Shannon that we know and love. That he goes out there, he dominates, he was getting easy ground balls, fly outs to end the inning, and yes, he didn't get a lot of call strike threes, but when he was fine in the zone, they were swinging right through it, especially top half of the part of the plate. High cheddar Mike Shannon was dealing, and yeah, I mean, you look at it, two pitches really decided this ball game. The Novikowski one in the second inning, he loved the inside part of the plate. He threw a little bit too inside, and he crushed it over the right field wall. And then when you're up 7-4, again, should Shannon have pitched the seventh? Probably have not, but you took the risk. He went out there, and he left one on the inner part of the plate to a righty and their shortstop, Zach Bailey, and it barely got over that left field wall, and it sliced just down the line. So if it's, let's say that ball is a little bit 10 feet to the left, we might be talking about the Profs being the NJAC title champion, because they would have went to game two if they would have held the lead. But ever since that home run, it kind of added a couple more runs after that. They were down 9-7, and the bats, especially in that eighth and ninth inning, were just not the Profs. I mean, a lot of times earlier in the game, they counted on kind of their usual guys, the Tyler Cannons, the Phil Sedalises of the world, but they just didn't kind of provide what they usually do. I mean, they went 2-for-10 combined, those two guys, and when usually they're the spark plug. Once they get a hit, the next guy gets a hit. Pat Tavishian and Dylan Maria, they did their part. They went combined 4-for-6 in this game, and Jason Morgan did his stuff as well. I mean, when you have those three guys in your lineup, you would think you could put up a little bit more, especially if those two guys get on. But when they weren't on, you have less opportunity to score more runs. And that's why Rampo, they capitalized. Every chance they had a runner in scoring position, they got him in. And that's why they walked away with the title. But this Rowan team, they now have to pray. They have to hope that goes to them.
Do you think that they can make it? I mean, quickly, like, their backs are against the wall now because it's no longer in their hands, because they did not win the NJAC tournament. But they didn't last year, but they got in. But this time, they're not as highly nationally ranked in Division III. So it's a little bit of an uphill battle to try to get in. Do you think that they can make it?
I think anything's possible. I think if the right teams win their conference tournament, Penn State, Harrisburg, and Misericordia being the two, I think the Rowan Profs will be one of those bottom 10 teams that get in. It would be a harder road than last year, obviously, where they kind of cruised through the regional. Super regional was tough against Salisbury. But overall, I think this team could do it. And I think since they've been so good the last couple of years, I think they'll get one of those final at-large bids in 2024.
Yeah, let's hope the respect nationally, as they have built up a name for themselves, the Rowan Profs baseball team, and they have made the NJAC tournament. They did do that. They didn't win it, but they at least prevailed and found a way to at least make it, even with their backs against the wall after their loss against Rampo on Friday night. But, I mean, that's going to be it. For me, I'm Ina Doherty, alongside me, Justin Locke. Let's hope next week when the Rowan Sports Review comes out, we're talking about how the Rowan baseball team is setting up for a possible regional. And let's hope we're talking about how the softball team has an NJAC championship and they're setting up for the possible regionals that maybe is in their backyard at their home field. But thank you for all tuning in. Until next time.
You've been listening to the Rowan Sports Review on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM. Be sure to tune in next Friday at 5 p.m. for more recaps and highlights, player and coach interviews, and a preview of the upcoming games of Rowan University Athletics on your home for prof sports. Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM.